Well, hello there. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I welcome you back to our studies. And we're going back into our study of false doctrine today. The Bible says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." We're talking about false doctrine. And getting back into our study, to recap just a little bit, we began this study on our last recording, and we talked about what constitutes false doctrine. Well, perverting the gospel constitutes false doctrine, and satanic deception constitutes false doctrine. We looked into our Bibles and seen those things, and then we talked about teachers of false doctrine. And when we discussed that, we began to study this thing, teachers of false doctrine, that they deceive many. They deceive many, and there are a lot of people that are deceived in this world concerning sound doctrine and what true and sound doctrine is, Bible doctrine, and what the truth is and what false is, what up is and what down is, what left is and what right is, polarities. The world is trying to move away from polarities, and this relativism is taking hold, and they don't want to see anything that's false or even that they're deceived, denying the Lord who bought them, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Teachers of false doctrine. Just because somebody says they're teaching the Bible and teaching the truth or teaching God's word does not mean they're teaching truth. Teaching truth and teaching sound doctrine. There's false doctrine out there, and that's what we're talking about right now, that causes confusion and leads in the wrong direction. We read the scriptures about that last lesson. But they deceive many. And secondly, they attract many. A whole bunch. The Lord said, "Wide is the way that leadeth to destruction." And it is. The majority is not always right. As a matter of fact, when it comes to Bible doctrine, the majority will pull you away from true, sound Bible doctrine. They attract many, the Bible says. And we've seen the scriptures in Peter and Luke and Matthew concerning that. And the last thing that we talked about concerning this matter of false teachers or teachers of false doctrine was that they speak perverse things. They speak perverse things. The Bible said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 29 through 31, and I'm sure you read that. I gave you those scriptures last time. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also, of your own selves shall men arise." These are familiar people that are in the church or in the fold or in the assembly. "Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one night and day with tears." This was something that was very important to Paul, and he wanted to get this matter across to us, and he spoke about it many different times in many different books that he wrote and gave to us. In Luke chapter, 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction." They attract many. They attract many. False teaching is attractive. It's attractive because a lot of it is catered to the flesh, catered to the flesh. All this new fad, music coming, this new Christian music and Christian rock and Christian rap and just all the things that cater to the flesh in the name of Christendom and have absolutely nothing to do with doctrine. It's false doctrine. It teaches the wrong things, They speak perverse things. The Bible says. Well, continuing on in our study today, we pick up there and false teachers, talking about teachers of false doctrine. They deceive many. They attract many. They speak perverse things. And what else? Well, they're savage. False teachers of doctrine are savage. They don't care. They're in it. They're not in it for the welfare of sacrifice. The Lord Jesus Christ, and when he calls a teacher or he calls a preacher or calls somebody to handle his word and to minister to people, there's sacrifice involved. And any teacher that's telling the truth and preaching and teaching false, or teaching true, sound doctrine will tell you that immediately. Yes, there is sacrifice involved in it. It's personal sacrifice that the Lord has called a man to teach and preach. And it's required in order to do it properly. And you can't put it in words. It's a personal sacrifice that the Lord asks of you. And you have to, if you're going to be sincere, then you have to yield that sacrifice to the Lord in order to be sound in your doctrine that you're teaching to other people. But false teachers are not sincere. The teachers that teach false doctrine are not sincere. They're in it for a different reason. They're not sincere before the Lord. They're not teaching the right thing before the Lord. And they know it in their heart, and the Lord knows it. And they're doing it for many different reasons. But they're savage. And what do you mean by that? Well, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28 through 30, the Bible says, "Take heed, therefore." Now, we read this on the last recording on another part of the subject that we was reading earlier. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to the flock." Now, this is written to the preachers. Also to us, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost had made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves." Now, you ever seen a wolf that wasn't savage? Especially a grievous wolf? Grievous wolves. Excuse me. "That after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." They could care less about the flock. They're coming in there for a reason, to get what they want and to obtain what they want. And they're using teaching and preaching and so-called doctrine, but false doctrine. And they could care less what it does to the flock. They will not spare the flock. They're grievous wolves. Their teaching and their preaching is false. Is false. "Also, of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them." It's not sound doctrine. Sound doctrine makes sound church members and sound flocks. False doctrine and false teaching and false teachers, grievous wolves, come in for different reasons. It's either for popularity, to draw disciples away after them and have a big following, or it could be for their belly, for monetary reasons, for their own personal gain, prosperity gospel. Yeah, yeah. God wants you to be rich. Now give. I always wondered about that, you know. Seemed like if God wanted me to be rich, he'd be passing out some money, wouldn't he? But that's not the way it works. False gospel. False doctrine. False teachers. They're savage. They're savage. They take, 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 and don't give, 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 give. Now, that's what I'm talking about. That's one way you can tell a difference in a preacher. Now, the Lord says that a true preacher is worthy of double honor, and he's talking about monetary reasons, that a preacher that is indeed sacrificing for the Lord's sake and for the flock should be taken care of. Absolutely. That is scriptural, and that is doctrine. But when it comes to the preacher himself, he, in his heart and in his mind and in obedience to the Lord, is in a sacrificial mode. He's not interested in all the money and the double honor and the this, that, and the other. He's interested in pleasing, doing the things that are pleasing before the Lord, and sacrificing and making sure that God's flock is taken care of and fed. And fed sound doctrine to where they're not confused and nobody can come in and snatch them out like a grievous wolf and hurt the flock and hurt the church and cripple the church in some ways. Church splits and all kinds of bitterness and just all kinds of stuff, all kinds of stuff. They're savage. What else? Well, they're deceitful. They're deceitful. What are we talking about? We're talking about teachers of false doctrine. They deceive many. They attract many. They speak perverse things. They are savage in their ways and in their in what they want out of it, and they're deceitful. All these things blend together and work together as one teacher of false doctrine and unsound doctrine. They teach, but it's deceitful. If you didn't know better, you wouldn't be able to tell it. And when you sit in there, God the Holy Ghost, you know, I heard a thing one time. I seen a documentary or something like that. I do a lot of studying about these. It was a documentary about they'd done a test on groups of people, and they took these teenagers, and they had just say 20. I don't know how many they had, but say 20, and they had 20 teenagers, and they told 20 teenagers that we're going to sit in class and I'm going to present to you three different things, and I want you to call out which one, and I'm going to ask which one of these things is true. But when I ask which one is true, I don't want you to raise your hand on the right one. And then there's one person that's going to be in that class that has not been informed of this matter, just to see if they'll follow the crowd in a false matter. 99% of the time, even when they looked around, they would present this issue, and he would say, okay, is it this? And when he would point to the right one, nobody in the class would raise their hand, and that uninformed person would look around, and he would think, this is right, but why ain't nobody raising their hand? And then he would point to the wrong one, and everybody would raise their hand, and he would reluctantly, but go ahead and do it, raise his hand, knowing that he was wrong, but to go along with the crowd. There's a lot of that business going on, and it has to do with false teachers, teachers of false doctrine, and they are deceitful. They, in a real subtle way, and a deceitful way, present perverse things and damnable heresies and present these things to the church and present it in a way to where they're deceived. The church, the flock is deceived into agreeing with it. Because if you don't actively, in your heart, on purpose, deny evil and deny falsehood, you have to accept the lie. You have to accept the lie. If somebody up there is telling you something false, and you don't correct that in your mind by what you know to be true, then you have to replace it with what that fellow's telling you that's false and accept that. You see? That's how it works. And these are deceitful workers. They present this stuff repetitiously. And it's false, and they know it's false, but they're doing it for reasons of selfishness and whatever selfish reasons they're in it for. But they're not sparing the flock. They don't care nothing about the flock. All they care about is making sure the flock is pleased and nobody's offended. And the Word of God is offensive, brothers and sisters. If God's Word is not correcting you, you're not listening to it, or either you got the wrong book. Because God's Word is 80% negative, even more than that, probably. God tells us what to do by telling us what not to do. Did you get that? They are deceitful. Teachers of false doctrine are deceitful. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15. We've read this before, but it also applies and is good scripture and truth. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers. Did you get that? Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. They change their looks, but that's not what they really are. And no marvel, don't get excited about that, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. But they're not ministers of righteousness. They're ministers of Satan. But they transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. They're going to burn. The Lord's going to throw them in the lake of fire because they're not saved. You see? They're deceitful. They're deceitful. Satan, if Satan walked up to you and told you something, I mean, well, Satan, but they have to hide, they have to disguise themselves. And they disguise themselves as the original thing. It's just like rat poison. Rat poison is 99% good food. It's only the 1% that kills you. And they transform themselves. What else? Well, they're deceitful. And also, they're ungodly. They are ungodly. Man, you just get on the news, it ought to be embarrassing to the body of Christ, which it is to society, and Christendom has changed so much and digressed so much in this Laodicean age that we're in, this dispensation that we're in right now, that it is that the church hardly even notices when somebody in Christendom is ungodly, or what is ungodly in Christendom anymore. I mean, you got, I heard of a preacher, he was preaching at this church and leading this flock, and one day he got up and he walked up and he stood before the congregation and he announced to the congregation that he is resigning and that he's divorcing his wife, and he introduced his new relationship, which was a gay relationship. A man introduced him as his new relationship, and out they went. Yeah, I heard right here in the town that I'm in right now of a preacher that was having relationships with one of the men in his church's wife. And the man came home, and the preacher had to leave so fast, He didn't have time to get his clothes on, jumped out the window and running down the street naked. And before that, the man and the woman were having marital problems, of course, because the preacher behind his back was messing around with his wife. And he was counseling the man and the woman about their problems while he was sleeping with his wife. That is Christendom, right? No, that is ungodly. That is ungodly. Ungodly. We're talking about false teachers. At the same time, this man's standing up in front of the church, and as a matter of fact, after he got caught and put on the headlines and the news and shamed and everything else, he didn't have any shame about it at all. He went back before his church the next Sunday, and he said, you know, we all make mistakes, and the Bible says that if I ask forgiveness, that God would forgive me. If I confess it, then God forgives me. And I did confess it, and God has forgiven me, and I'm going to continue to be your pastor, and we'll move on. And the congregation agreed. That's ungodly. Ungodly. And deceitful. And selfish. For all the things that we're talking about. False teachers. Teachers of false doctrine. There wasn't any truth in that matter at all. It should have shamed everybody to where they couldn't even hold their face up. But that's not these days we live in now, but that does not change the truth and sound doctrine. That's why we're learning this stuff. Shame is a wonderful tool that God the Holy Ghost uses to fix things about us. The Lord tells us to separate ourselves from people, certain people, so that they'll be ashamed and they'll fix that matter. Yeah. They're ungodly. The Bible says in Jude chapter 1, verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. You know what lasciviousness is? It's not being able to control your sexual lusts. Or right around that area. It's just out of control filthiness. Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. And denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 8 of Jude, in chapter 1 there, also, it says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh. I just told you a story about that. Despise dominion and speak evil of dignities. There's a lot of churches, false teachers of doctrine, false teachers of doctrine, or teachers of false doctrine. They'd stand up there and talk about nothing but political stuff. There ain't nothing spiritual about that congregation at all. What else? Teachers of false doctrine. Now, this stuff we're learning is good stuff, isn't it? Teachers of false doctrine, they deceive many. They attract many. They speak perverse things. They are savage in their approach. They are deceitful. They are ungodly. Now, everything that we just mentioned, the scriptures told us and we read them. Right? What does the Scripture say? Okay? And what else? Well, they're proud. They're proud. The Bible says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Before a fall. They're proud. Teachers of false doctrine are proud. 1 Timothy chapter 6, excuse me, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3 through 5 says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, sound doctrine, wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. This is all stuff in the church. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. What's the Bible say? From such withdraw thyself. Yeah. It says, if any man teach otherwise. This is teachers. And consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to this doctrine which is according to godliness. He's pretty clear on that, wasn't he? He is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words. Well, what about this? Well, the Greek says, well, in the Hebrew and the... questions of strifes and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputing of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. God don't want you around teachers. The Lord does not want us around teachers that are that way. Yeah. They're proud. What else? Well, they are corrupt. These kind of teachers right here. Can you see why the Bible's encouraging us to stay away from this kind of teaching? Because if it's corrupt that you're hearing, that which goeth in the ear and goes in the eye, mine eye affecteth mine heart. And what goes in your ears and what you hear affects your heart also. And if you listen to it, even Hitler said, if you're going to tell a lie, tell it as loud as you can, as much as you can, and just as many times as you can, and they'll believe it. And he converted a whole nation into thinking that they needed to kill the Jewish race. They're corrupt. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 8 and 9 says, now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. God ain't going to let them get away with it. He'll pull their pants down in front of the whole congregation one day. But they're corrupt. Men of corrupt minds. They're not interested in godliness and scriptural things and spiritual things. They're interested in gain and lasciviousness and denying the Lord and filthy dreaming and despising dominion and speaking evil of dignities and transforming themselves into the ministers of righteousness, but they are absolutely not ministers of righteousness. They're deceitful workers and false apostles. And lastly, as far as teachers of false doctrine, they love error. They love error. They not only preach and teach error, but they enjoy it. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3 and 4, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts," you see how that flesh gets in that? "But after their own lusts shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." They love error. Just like we was talking about a while ago, if you don't resist false, you have to accept it. If you do not cling to the truth, then you have to accept the lie. And that is how the world is transformed. That's how the devil and the Antichrist is going to deceive the entire world, is through repetition of deceit and lies over and over and over and over. And pretty soon, you're just walking like a robot. You're following suit. Wide is the path. So what have we talked about today? We've talked about false teachers. We've talked about that they deceive many. They're teachers of false doctrine. Our subject is doctrine. And there are teachers of false doctrine out there, many, many, many of them. And they deceive many. They attract many. Their intention is to attract as many as they can. For whatever reason, their lusts and their lasciviousness and their ungodliness, they attract many. They speak perverse things. They speak perverse things. Why, there was one woman, I forget her name, she's supposed to be a prophet. She's a false teacher and a liar and a deceiver. But she said that there was a, what was it? I can't remember if it was a McDonald's in heaven or an ice cream parlor in heaven. One of them, she even had a shirt that she was wearing while she was teaching and everything, talking about this place in heaven, like that, like a McDonald's or something like that. Out of her stinking mind, man. Speak perverse things. They are savage. They don't care what it does to you or how it affects you or just as long as they can keep you under their authority and their rule and your dependence upon them, that if you get away from them, then God's going to be mad at you. And you should follow them instead of the authority of the Word of God, which is absolutely false and against God's will. They are deceitful. They are ungodly. And they are proud. And they are corrupt. And they love error. All right, so we've been over two areas of this matter of false doctrine so far. We've talked about what constitutes false doctrine. We've talked about teachers of false doctrine. Now let's go into one other before we start talking about what sound doctrine is. And the last portion of false doctrine, we're going to talk about Christians' attitude toward false doctrine. What should it be? So, okay, Brother TV, I've heard about this. I've heard about the teachers. I see what my Bible says. I see what God says about it. I know that they're there. Well, we always have, haven't we? But I recognize them. I know that the Lord says to withdraw myself from them. I know what their end is. I know why they're out there. I know what they're up to. I know that they're like wolves. And I know they don't care about me. So what's my attitude toward it? Well, plain and simply, you avoid it. Does the Bible teach us to avoid false doctrine? Does it? Well, we should not stir up the pot. We shouldn't do this. We shouldn't do that. Well, does the Bible tell us to avoid false doctrine? Does it? Well, let's look at Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 and verse 17 and 18. What does the Bible say? Listen to this. Now, I beseech you, brethren, he's talking to us, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. The Lord said, mark them. And then what else? And avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Does God give us permission to avoid and not listen to and to get away from false doctrine and the teachers of false doctrine? Absolutely. On purpose. And don't even look back. That's what the Bible says. Let me read it again. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. Why would you follow somebody and listen to somebody that's not following Jesus Christ? Serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. Oh boy, they can really perk it up and boil it out there and make it real pretty and num 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 num. And Christians out there sitting there just soaking it up and eating it up, and it's all sweet and num 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 num. And it's false as it can be. Avoid false doctrine. What's Christians' attitude toward false doctrine should be? Avoid it. You have an order in the Scriptures in Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18 to avoid it. Well, I think avoid it. Well, he didn't avoid it. Get away from it. Don't listen to it. They might be good words and fair speeches, but they're lies. Get away from it. Well, he's been a preacher for 100. Get away from it. If it don't line up with the book and the doctrine that you have been taught and that you have learned, mark them and avoid them. What else? Well, one more thing. Very simple, just like avoiding them. I'm glad the Lord tells us to avoid false things, aren't you? We should be glad about that. Our Lord cares for us, for he careth for you. And our Lord shows it by telling us what to be around and what not to be around. You ain't got to have nobody's permission to do what God tells you to do. You don't even have to care about whether they approve of it or not. Just obey the Lord, and things will turn out right. And God don't want you listening to no bunch of stinking lies, whether they're pretty or not. He's going to punish and burn them lies. He wants things for your welfare. mark it, and avoid it. What else? Well, test that false doctrine. Test it. Okay, well, if you hear something that sounds like lies and you see something that sounds like lies, we're talking about false teachers, teachers of false doctrine. And you hear something and you see something and God the Holy Ghost has made you uncomfortable about something and wants you to check it out, check it out. Line it up with the book. See if it lines up with the book. And then if it doesn't line up with the book, then do what you are told to do. Mark it and avoid it. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, listen to this. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Just because they got a tie and a $500 suit on and they've been there for 400 years and they got real pretty words and fair speeches and all this, that, and the other, the Lord said not to believe everybody. Beloved, well, how do you tell the difference of who to believe and not to believe? That book. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. You say, well, we're not supposed to judge. God just ordered you to judge. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Well, how am I going to do that? Try them. Put them on trial. But try the spirits whether they are of God. And in order to do that, you have to judge what they say and their fruit. Are you really a teacher from God? Do you really believe that book? What you're teaching me, is it leading me the right direction? Is it teaching me to get closer to the Lord and closer to His Word and do the right things and the things that are pleasing before the Lord? Are you trying to steer me away from God? You trying to steer me? You trying to take God's Word away from me? These are important matters. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Why? Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Mark them and avoid them. Test false doctrine. If you hear something that God the Holy Ghost throws up flags for you, you carry that flag home and you get in that book and you see what that book says about what that flag's about. And if it don't line up with the book, mark them. Amen? That's good stuff. That's good stuff. I'm glad our Lord gives us permission to do that. I'm glad He don't make us sit around and listen to a whole bunch of false junk that's going to confuse us. And that's what the devil wants, is just if he can confuse you, then he knows that you ain't sound. That's why the Lord only wants us reading His pure word. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God's not going to take His word away from you. He's not going to double cross you, and He's not going to laugh at you and make fun of you. But them false teachers, and Satan will. Christians' attitude toward false doctrine. Avoid false doctrine. Test false doctrine. Amen. We're going to stop right there, my friends. And let me give you these scriptures for today. And then this next one might close us out on this doctrine matter. But you see what we're learning in God's Word about doctrine? It's important stuff, isn't it? Your final authority, remember when we started to sing out final authority and how that has to do with your doctrine and how important it is to know who you're following and what they believe and what they're teaching you? Doctrine. The next study, we're going to talk about sound doctrine. And that's all we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how sound doctrine is manifested. We're going to talk about why sound doctrine is needed, which we have been quite a bit over already, and several other things having to do with sound doctrine. Here's the scriptures for today. Acts chapter 20, verse 28 through 30. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 13 through 15. Jude 1, 4. Jude 1, 8. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3 through 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8 and 9. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 and 4. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. And the last one for today is 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for His truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, you have a wonderful evening or afternoon or morning or whatever it is that you're having. And I appreciate you so much. I admire you for studying your God's words and believing them and making them part of you. Let's go believing. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I'll talk to you on the next one. Bye-bye.